This is exciting. We've got Paul coming to speak to us this morning. So been looking forward to this. This is Paul and Katie just here. And we've got some new people coming to speak as part of this series on the practice of Jesus this term. We got to know Paul quite well. We did a French Alpha course maybe last year. And Paul was our French speaking person. Alice and I would say bonjour. And Paul would say everything else. French. Yeah. So great to have him speaking to us, and let's pray as he does. Lord, again that freshness that we were singing about in that last song, that joy, that life that you conveyed to people, you just brought such hope, such a perspective change, such life as you encountered and met with people. And we pray for that for ourselves this morning. We pray that you speak to us, you teach us through what Paul brings. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, that's my ear. So in Chris's prayer there, he mentioned some of the things that Jesus did and the things that Jesus was seen doing. He came to serve and not to be served. He came to set the captives free. He was a teacher. He taught the disciples. He ate with the disciples. He ate with the Pharisees and with sinners and the lowliest of society. And we can see in all of these stories that Jesus lived a life that was very much connected to the Father, to God. And there's a lot that we can learn from the life of Jesus and what he did that we can apply to our own life. How did he spend his time? What can we learn from this that we can apply to our own lives? So in this Lent season, and continuing the theme of the practices of Jesus, we're going to look today, that way, isn't it? It did work in practice, yes. Are we okay over there? Oh. Maybe if I stand a little closer. There we go. Oh, there we go. There we go. Right. Let me move this a little further forward. There we go. So the first thing we'll look at is the importance of the practices of Jesus. And then we'll look at how we can develop these practices in our own lives. So first of all, we've looked at these practices before. Can any of you name any of them? Prayer. Good. What else? Fasting. What's that? Silence and solitude. You might be familiar with this graphic, which is in the Fours booklet, where we have time alone, time in community, time of engagement, and time of abstinence. So we have the examples you gave up there. We've got silence and solitude, fasting, prayer down in the bottom left. I want to use the snazzy little laser pointer. Ooh, there we go. Prayer down there. So these are the practices that we're looking at in this season. I want to take a moment to just quickly look at these through this verse where Jesus is asked, Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest. A second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. And what I noticed when I was looking at these is that these practices all relate to love expressed in one or a combination of those three directions, either towards the Lord our God, to our neighbours, or to ourselves. So you can see here we have silence and solitude. That's about making sure that we have time to rest. It's about making sure that we have time to connect to God, to expand those connections. Practices are about love. They're about how we express love to ourselves, to each other, and to God, and also how we allow for those connections to be open, for other people to express it to us, and for the Father to express it to us as well. So it's not something that we're striving for here. We're building relationships, getting to know ourselves, our God, and each other better. We've sung today, Have Your Way with Us. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I think practices relate specifically to the way aspect here. He's both our example and our objective. And we also sang about rest. I will rest in your promises. And this is particularly highlighted in this verse from Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So we who are weary, who are heavily burdened, we can come to him and we can lay it down and he gives us rest. We can apply this to our practices as well. It's not about pushing forward. We're already saved as Christians. We're not trying to earn God's love more. We're simply trying to broaden that connection and allow that relationship to be strengthened, both through what we do and also by allowing God to work in our lives. His yoke is easy and the burden he gives us is light. It's very restful. So, this idea of practices. When we look at our actions, these are the results of how we think. And God wants to transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. We want to adopt Christ's perspective, not the world's, on our actions. So the thinking that we have must be changed. And the interesting thing about this word here, it's often translated as renewing. And that to me suggests not just a one-time thing. Yes, of course there is that. But there's this regularity to it as well. God speaks to us all the time. And changing the way that we think is a process that is achieved through this relationship with our Father. So how do we develop these practices in our lives? Having established that it's about relationship to God, to each other, getting to know ourselves and love ourselves more, how do we develop them? The first thing, we've got to look at what we're doing now, okay? Examine our practices. How do we use our time? What is it that we're doing? Time can be, it can be taken from us by competing priorities. We can do things automatically. We can do things that are not always the best things for us. We can make choices every day in our lives. Sometimes we do it because it's what we've always done, and sometimes we can direct our time towards certain objectives. If we look at the life of Jesus again, we see that he is very intentional. He gives glory to God. He eats meals, he teaches, but he also rests. He takes time apart from people to restore his himself, to rest and to connect with God more. So the first question we have is, are we using our time in a way that is holy, I suppose, sanctified? Are we living our lives in the way that is best for us in terms of our connection? Attention is something that we pay. Yeah, you pay attention just like you pay money. We all think about saving our money, but do we think about saving our attention? Yeah, looking to the left or to the right or straight on. We choose what we pay attention to, and that can have a significant impact on the quality of our lives. I remember reading a survey a couple of weeks ago about Christians' use of social media and their time in prayer. And what it suggested, this was a bit painful to me, because I could see myself reflected in it as well. It said that the Christians that they sampled spent 50 minutes a day on social media and 30 minutes a week in prayer. And I was like, that's me. That is me. So that showed to me that there were some questions I had to ask about my own life. Am I giving my attention to the things that really matter? And I read this as well. First, we make our habits, and then our habits make us. Our habits are something that is automatic. They save us from having to make decisions about every little thing. You know, you don't have to decide how you'll get to work in the morning. You've already done it, yeah, hundreds of times. So there's no decisions. You're not like, shall I take the bus? Shall I do this or that? You know. And it's the same with any habit. This has an influence on us that goes beyond that day. And over time, a small degree of change can have a significant impact on our lives. So if we want to build better habits, better practices into our lives, it's that way, isn't it? There we go. How do we do it? I am a teacher, and I've been reading a little bit about routines and habits for my students? How do I get them into good study habits? And it's quite interesting because it feeds in quite closely to this idea of practices. The first is we've got to start small. If we want to develop a new practice in our life, we have to begin with something small. That doesn't mean that we're constantly fighting our own willpower. So, for example, if your goal is to read the Bible more, you might want to start with, say, a verse. I'll do a verse a day. Yeah, it's small. It's so small that after you've done it, you think, well, that's fine. That was nothing. Whereas if you set yourself, I'm going to read four chapters, you know, this day and then that and then that, it doesn't work. Yeah, the science tells us that you do it a few days and then you're constantly fighting. You're wrestling with it and it's you collapse. Yeah. I've seen this in my own life, in my attempts to try and get up earlier. I am not a morning person, as my wife will tell you. My mornings tend to be a series of grunts and, you know, very little conversation until I'm out of the door. And I tried to make myself get up earlier. So instead of 7:30 wake up time and then getting out of the door at 7:55, kind of half dressed and unshaven sometimes, and sometimes with breakfast, sometimes not, I thought, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. That is it. I managed it. Guess how many days I managed it for? One day, that's right. One day, I managed to get up at 6 o'clock one day. I was very pleased with myself. And then the next day, I didn't even get up at 7:30. It was slightly later, 7:35, because I was so tired from the day before. So, yes, I can hear some of the laughs in here, so I know that I'm not alone in this room with this experience. So we can't do too big a change at once. Little changes work better. Okay, little changes were better. And we can see this theme of the power of small things in the Bible. So ships are directed by a small rudder in James 3. We have this verse about faith the size of a mustard seed. This is what we need in our lives. Faith the size of a mustard seed moves mountains. There's a little picture there. I Googled mustard seeds to see what they're like. That's a random hand holding a mustard seed right there. So that's a tiny, tiny thing. Yeah, look how small it is. It's smaller than the pumpkin seeds that I have on my salad. Or, you know, it's really, really small as far as seeds go. So small things have power. And small practices have power. Ooh. So that's the first thing. Start small. Second, we need to link our new practice somehow to our existing habits. It's got to fit in. We're busy people. We have priorities. We have to make choices. So if we want to develop a new habit, a new practice, we have to link it to something. So something like when I finish dinner, I go upstairs and I pray. Something like that. Yeah, we're connecting it to what we're doing already, so that it fits into our lifestyle. There is a verse in Luke 9:23, which is about carrying your cross daily. So perhaps there's something about daily practice as well here. This regularity does seem to be important. Accountability is also very useful. If you are committing to some practice, then share it with someone. Tell your wife, like I did, about my attempt to get up earlier. I'll tell you what happened later, because I did make some changes. Or if you want to pray every day, if you want that to be the way that you're developing your connection with God, tell someone else. Write it down. All of these strengthen it. You can record it as well. And this is what I did after my failed attempt to wake up the first time. I decided to make small changes. So instead of getting up at 7:30, I thought, right, 7:15. I did 7:15 for a week. And then after that, I thought, right, I'll try 7 o'clock now. And at the moment, I'm on 6:45. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. But also, I started recording it as well. And the reason that I'm getting up early is because I want to feel like I'm not stepping out towards work in this kind of hurried, exhausted state. I feel more tired going in than I do coming out. And I thought, right, that needs to change. So, oh, it's that way. So this is my attempt to get up earlier, and I've also got as my daily thing that's 6:45 to 7:15. I spend half an hour, so I have 10 minutes of prayer, I have 10 minutes of exercise as well, and I have 10 minutes where I'm just kind of writing things down. And that kind of, I've found that that really helps me to go out of the door with a, you know, I feel rested and relaxed and prepared for the day rather than staggering out, grumpy and grouchy and groaning like Chewbacca, which is what I used to do. So what I've done here, the crosses are my days where I've been successful. Okay, and there's some scribbles on the bottom there. I think that's Katie's drawings. But that was before. I used scrap paper for this, so she's not drawing on my chart. But you can see on the Monday, what's that? No, that's January there. So January the 29th, the 30th and 31st, I managed to get up at 6:45 and do my prayer and my exercise. And then I had a bit of a dip. I had a bit of a blank there between Thursday and Friday. I'm going to say that I was ill. I'm going to use that as my excuse. But I could have been better. But yes, this idea of the small changes really helped. It made it a lot easier. And this is something we can apply as well. Little changes, not big, dramatic ones, because you're fighting then. You're fighting, and this is restful. It's, you're building connection. So there you are. I didn't do it today. I'm sorry. So there we are, the 18th. I got up a little later today, so I still have work to do. All right, moving on. Reward yourself. If you are building in a new practice, make sure that there is some reward. It can be as simple as just like, yes, feeling good. You know, I did it. I got up. Or putting that X up there. That's what my reward is. I've done it. I managed to put my big cross in that box. It's kind of working. I'm getting there. But again, it's developmental. It's not perfection. Remember that you're building a relationship here. You're building relationships with each other. If you want to spend more time with people, to eat with people, this is something that Jesus did a lot of in the Bible. He was always eating with other people. The meals he had with his disciples, where he would teach them. The meals he would have with the Pharisees, where the disciples were like, why is he eating with them? The sinners, the tax collectors. All of these people he would just eat with, because he came to save them, not to oppose them. So we got to feel good when we do it and know why we're doing this. We want to get a sense of joy from our practices because of what they're doing. They're expressions of love, as I say. And the way of life fills us with the joy of his presence. Yeah, so this way of life that he shows us, we can take joy from practices that deepen our connections with God and with each other. So what stops us? Why don't we do this? Because, again, I've had difficulty with this. We approach practices as something that we have to push for, really strive for, I think. And there are reasons why. First is lack of time. The second is our emotions. When we're developing new practices, it can feel uncomfortable. There can be unwillingness or frustration because we're trying and then it doesn't work. And also there's inertia as well. This is the way I've always done it. I think this idea of inertia is quite interesting with practice. So we'll talk about these three in the next slide. How do we overcome these? First of all, we pray. God is gracious and he gives us wisdom and peace when we pray for it, when we ask him. We have to allow him to give us guidance in this process. If you are finding that you're struggling, just start smaller. Just start smaller. That's all you have to do. You've got to get to a stage where you're not, you know, constantly fighting your willpower. Just start small and then make other changes later. You build up. You've got to focus on what you can do on one day, okay? Day at a time. Big things are a little bit scary. And if we focus on what we can do today, or just praying after a meal, this is something that we have more closeness to, perhaps more control over. This is something that we can do today. And the last thing, persevere in our practice. Practice takes place among athletes, among soldiers, among surgeons. It's a way of developing. Yeah. Athletes and tennis players, they practice in order to improve what they do. I have been driving for about 15 years, something like that. I reckon I'm probably not a better driver now than I was in my first year of driving. And the reason is because I'm always doing the same thing. I haven't been on any driving courses. I take the same routes. I go to the same places. So there's no stretching there. Perhaps the element of practice that we could also look at is this idea of stretching practice, doing something that is a little bit different to what we might normally do. If you're a surgeon, then you practice operations again and again and again before they ever let you near a live person, yeah? And you wouldn't want a surgeon to just go, right, I'm gonna come in and practice on you, yeah? You wouldn't want that. The practice happens before a big trial. It's the reason why soldiers practice, they go on maneuvers, and so when a battle comes, they're ready. They know. They have the structures in place. And this is something that we can apply to our own life. If we have that connection wide open with God, then when we do face these trials, we can tap in a lot easier than if we haven't built up this relationship. And it's the same with our friends as well. We can access other people. We can help them as well when they're in trouble. We can look into ourselves if we're rested and understand what's going on inside us. So all of these are reasons why practice is so important. Perseverance comes up again and again in the Bible. Keep knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. What have we got here? Patiently endure testing. Though they stumble, they will never fall. Yeah, we've got to forgive ourselves if we do a practice and we're not quite there. It's gradual. It's gradual, little by little. So, that way. I will learn. There we go. The practices of Jesus. We've got to not look at this as striving or trying to earn God's love. We can't do that. He already loves us more than we know. They are expressions of love for the Father, for each other, and for ourselves. They are opening up that connection so that this love can come our way as well. To develop these, we have to be conscious in our use of time. Think very carefully, how am I using my time? Take a step back from what you normally do and look at it. And think about one very small thing. If you want to make a change, do it small. If it's too big, if it's too big, it's too big. You need to look smaller. Yeah? It should be something that is very doable. And you get a sense of satisfaction from doing. And finally, there's this idea of the practice of Jesus as a kind of proactive laziness. I kind of like this idea. It's, again, not really striving, but we are operating in a place where we just naturally have this connection. We're resting in it. Again, this idea of rest comes up in these practices. It came up in the songs that we sang today. So we need to rest into these practices and not feel like we're hitting ourselves against the brick wall. His burden is light and his yoke is easy. And one final slide I'll show you. Do you remember that small mustard seed? There is a mustard tree. So if you look at a mustard seed and you plant it, and you look at it after a week, you wouldn't notice any difference. Yeah, it looks like it's the same size. Maybe after a month, like, no, small. You go away and you come back years and years later. Through growth and doing the same thing repeatedly and just being planted, that seed grows into this beautiful tree. And so this shows us that the practices are not, they don't seem large now, but if you look down the line 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, they will have a huge impact on you and your relationship with God and each other. Okay, thank you. We've got a few minutes, haven't we? So we've got some paper here, and if you want, we can think about the practices in our life. Think about how we are using our time. Can we get some? Yeah, we're over here. Thank you. So let's think about this idea of one small change. Is there one small change that we would like to adopt in our own use of time. Oop. It's never a good sound. So let's think about how we approach this. Is there something small that we can do to deepen our relationship with the Father or with each other? It could be a time of prayer. It could be Bible reading, memorizing a verse. It could be as simple as spending more time with other people in a loving way. It could be making sure that we take time to rest or making sure that we take time to be quiet so that we can hear what God's saying to us. One small change. There we go. So I've put that back up there. So just have a think about one small change that you might do to deepen those connections, or to take more time for yourself as well. Don't forget the loving yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no shame here. There's no blame. We need to make sure that we're also loving to ourselves as well as to other people and to God. So just take a moment there. Shall I pray about that? What do you want to?
Let's give Paul a round of applause. That was a fantastic. Thank you. It's brilliant. There's this brilliantly helpful verse in James where it says, if you hear what God says and you don't do it, it's like you look in a mirror and go away and forget what you look like. What you heard then is who you really are. When you heard that practice that he's pressing in on you, it's who you really are. And if we walk away now and don't put it into practice, we will not be who we really are. We will be our inauthentic selves. Does that make sense? So let's rise into who we are becoming in Christ by putting into practice the thing we know he's said to us. Does everyone feel here a sense of what it is that God's asking? He's saying the next step in our progress is. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, just pray then. Lord, I thank you so much that just like in physical fitness, you can watch all the DVDs you like, but if you watch it from an armchair, you won't get more fit. But if you even just do the simplest, start to do the simplest moves and simplest steps into physical fitness over time with perseverance and increased capacity, we do become fit physically. And that's exactly the same as spiritual fitness. That all we do is we start really small with the thing you're telling us to do, and we do it over time, regularly, and then we increase as you tell us. And before we know it, we're becoming more like you and actually more like who we really, really are, actually. And I feel this is a season to just throw off the inauthentic bits in our lives, the self-protecting strategies, the octopus ink, all the bits that are just not really who we are. And may we rise up as authentic people, totally connected with God, with each other and with ourselves, at peace in the world and ministering peace, but just by being ourselves, exactly like you were on earth. So I bless us for that. I bless us to enter into that way of life, which is just a light yoke, which is that unforced rhythms of grace, as Eugene Peterson puts it, of the light and easy yoke. I bless us to enter into rest and knowing from that place of intimacy with each other, with you, with ourselves, that's where fruit comes. That's where fruit comes. Bless us to be that kind of people, totally rested, totally fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Such good news, isn't it? The way we can tell what's truth is it genuinely is good news. And if there's anything kind of that yeast of bad news or heaviness, or it's just not true, because truth is liberating by its very nature. And such good news, isn't it? So we bless you, bless us all this week to feel empowered, to grow in authenticity and in becoming more like Jesus and who we're created to be. Have a fantastic week. We'll be doing a little thing again on Wednesday to check in to this fast. We're contending for the healing that God has for our sisters as we prayed for earlier. And just that last thing, I just want to command that mountain of sickness and that spirit of death that's coming against Liz. We just command it off her in the name of Jesus. And we command life in all its fullness to flood through her body, mind, soul and spirit. We know that that mustard seed is the thing that moves the mountain. Amen.